Welcome back, everyone, to the Authentic as Fuck podcast. My name is Sun. I'm a storyteller and marketer. And in this podcast, I interview entrepreneurs and creators about their journey, their story, and how it relates to what they do today. Today, we have Craig Siegel. Craig Siegel, a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling author of The Reinvention Formula, is a global keynote speaker, coach, TEDx speaker, and host of the CLS Experience podcast. Endorsed by luminaries like Jim Quick, Ed Milet, Craig, a seven-time marathoner, left his Wall Street job during the pandemic to pursue his true purpose. His mastery, energy, and inspirational impact has made CLS one of the most engaging communities globally. Craig focuses on removing limiting beliefs, fostering positive mindsets in both business and personal realms, and encouraging a wholehearted commitment to one's true purpose. He believes the riskiest thing you can do is to play it safe. Amen. I love that. I love that last line. Literally what everybody needs to hear, because the more I talk to people, I feel like almost every problem that I talk to people about either comes down to courage, that they don't have the courage to take that risk, or if they did have the courage to take that risk, they don't have the discipline to follow through and keep going with it. But anyway, welcome. Welcome, Craig. Good to see you.
It's amazing to see you. I love every time we get together. Like hearing the intro too and your voice. And I'm just super excited to be here. Let's have some fun. Let's go deep.
Yeah. So I want to start with like your, you know, we're going to try to kind of talk about your life, reflect to see what are yeah, I want you to kind of reflect back on some significant moments in your life that you think is like, oh, this really shaped who I am. And we'll start from like your childhood and then we'll kind of work our way into, okay, how does this all tie in together to what you do today? This is the same process I do with my clients, like over a span of 3 hours. And usually like we find a lot of our brand stories like this. So your kind of upbringing, right? Like, so what were you like growing up? Tell us about your family life. What were you like in school, and like kind of key memories?
Don't make me go back.
We're going way back.
Yeah. Now this is awesome. So growing up, I grew up in a very, very close family. I have one older brother, my best friend, my brother Mark. He's about 8 years older than me, and we're pretty much inseparable. In the beginning, I guess him and his friends probably used to pick on me a little because I think that's normal. And then now, you know, some of his friends are some of my best friends in the world. So yeah. That's great. My parents, they're much older than people might think. They kept us in a little bit of a bubble, meaning
we didn't know so much about like the outside world. I think they were just trying to protect us. They did the best they could with what they had. But ultimately, later on, and I'm sure we'll get there in this conversation, until I went to college and was kind of on my own, I started to have a little bit more of a taste of reality. So I grew up in a very, very close family. I was a bit introverted and I would say a little bit, I don't know, for whatever reason, I grew up a little bit self-conscious. I don't know why. If I was a little bit shorter, I had some acne. I'm not sure what it was, but I had a chip on my shoulder and I was just, I would always envision the time when I could finally just be me and really shine. But growing up, I was a popular kid. I had a good sense of humor, but I think that I struggled to really, really have major direction in life. It wasn't until much later on where I finally arrived at me and was able to put it all together. But growing up, not too much trauma, if I'm being honest. Grew up in a very close family, you know, modest
thing. Are you close with your family?
Yeah, speak to them all the time. My parents are still in Long Island. My pops is battling cancer, doing the best that he can. And my brother's my best friend, and he's, like I said, 8 years older than me. He's in Long Island, so I speak to him all the time, for sure.
And you grew up in New York? So you've been in New York your whole life?
Yeah, I grew up in Long Island, and my parents are still there where I grew up. The only time I wasn't in New York, son, is when I went to college in Connecticut. And then once I came back from there, I went to Wall Street, did that for 13 years until I reinvented myself.
Did you know always that you were going to move to New York City, or is that something just kind of naturally.
Coincident? I mean, like when we got a little bit older, like we'd like to go out in New York City, my friends and I, and who isn't infatuated by New York City? You know, it's cool. And because Long Island is relatively close, yeah, I thought it would be cool, but it wasn't like it was part of my vision, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. Because I actually, one of my best men in my wedding is actually born and raised in Long Island. So he's like, I know the Long Island culture really well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like people think that Long Island, New York City are two worlds apart, right? That are very 100%. Different. And from what I see, I think there are people in Long Island who knows, like, okay, I'm going to go to college, and after college, I'm going to go to New York City, and I'm going to get, like, and then there are people who know, like, kind of, okay, I'll probably, like, settle in Long Island and live here for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You were, like, somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between, yeah.
Yeah. So you just didn't, you were like, wherever life takes me.
You know what? I wanted, to be clear, I'm not like a free spirit. I like to be organized and structured. I loved movies. I loved wrestling growing up. Who am I kidding? I still do. It's a guilty pleasure. I didn't like sports. I didn't know. Like, I wasn't one of those cats that grew up and was like, oh, I want to play for the Yankees, or I want to be in the family business. I didn't know. I was a little bit lost in the wilderness with no compass.
But so it sounds like you had some sort of a drive and discipline to put in the work and stuff like that. So how were you a good student? How were you in school?
I was a decent student, probably like C+, because I didn't really apply myself, if I'm being honest. I was never really excited about school work per se. I wasn't super interested in the curriculums, and that's on me. You know, I probably should have awakened more of a desire, but I did what I had to do to, you know, pass and get by and get to college and all that stuff.
You hustled.
But I wasn't so like into at the time getting the best grades, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like some of the most successful entrepreneurs I talked to actually didn't do well in school.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like that's kind of
prerequisite.
Yeah, it's almost a test, because I think if you're a really good student, let's say you're like valedictorian, you're like a straight A student, I think all that shows is that you're a very great rule follower.
Ooh, it's got nuggets.
It's you know, true. Like, and that this person is not really going to think for themselves or challenge anything. Do you like? It's not much of a critical thinker, right?
I was more of a disruptor like you.
Yeah, exactly. So I see that pattern a lot, actually.
Makes sense.
Is there something from those years, like from your childhood to your high school, like all the way you went to college? Is there something, do you feel like, two questions. One, something you feel like a key life lesson you learned during those years, like where, oh, I used to believe that the world is this way, but actually, like one life lesson I learned is this. And then secondly, do you notice anything different about the way you grew up? Because now that you grew, you see other people and how they grew up, and you kind of see it. Because like that was like for me, like when I grew up, I'm like, everyone's family is like this. But then once you grow up and you see your friends and things like that, you realize that, oh, the way I grew up is not exactly the same way that everyone else grew up, right? Like that. Something like, so to give you an example, like for me, like my parents were very strict, and like I couldn't barely go to anything like parties or anything like that, right? So I didn't know that was special to me, right? I thought like other parents were like that too, but it turned out to be actually something. So yeah, let's talk about it. Like any lessons from those era?
It's funny because I really think I had two lives, one prior to reinventing myself and one obviously now. And growing up, there wasn't so much that stuck out. I was really just trying to find myself in this world. And one thing that I did notice is that I didn't want to just follow the system and just go be an architect or, work for one specific company or be a lawyer. I didn't want to do what most people did or what I was accustomed to most people doing. I wanted to do things my way, and I wanted to take my drive and my discipline, which I did have. I always had that, but I just wanted to place it in the right arena. I always felt like I was a gladiator in the wrong arena, and I didn't want to settle. So my mom was a teacher, and she would always, we didn't always see eye to eye, as you can imagine. I wasn't probably the best kid growing up. I was bad or anything like that. It wasn't like I was getting arrested. But I was, you know, I was a little like, you know, I didn't focus so much in school and stuff like that. And she would always say to me, you are capable of so much more. You have so much more potential than you're settling for. And to be honest with you, I'm only having this breakthrough right now as I'm having this conversation with you. I think that, and I make no excuses, but I was never really, I never found what I was interested in per se. And so it was hard for me to get really excited about these things that I just wasn't interested in. It wasn't until a little bit later on, and I'm sure we'll get to that, after college, when I stumbled upon personal development and stuff like that, that I was just, I was obsessed, if you will, a healthy obsession. And so growing up, I was trying to find my interests, and I had trouble with that. And so as a result, I could never really find the appropriate arena to really double down and really go all in on.
Yeah, so you had the fuel, but you didn't know where to put it towards.
Yes.
And your mom obviously saw something in you.
Because
I
was witty and like,
she noticed that you were not reaching your potential.
Yeah, and like whenever push came, I imagine you could probably relate to this. Yeah. Like whenever like an important test came or like it was really time to make stuff happen, I would make it happen. But I would usually wait toward, you know, until I had to at that point in my life. So she was probably
So that must have gave you some certain sense of confidence that shit hits the fan, worst case scenario, I can do this. I can make it. I can get it done or something like that.
You know what,
like
son? If I'm being honest, brother, and this is a really thought-provoking conversation. I love it. It's really making me think. I always had a strong self-belief that I believed in myself. I had trouble matching that with the correct arena where I could really apply it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that sounds very relatable, because I think that's the reason why I was so bad in school, is because if somebody saw me like me building my business, they would call me a workaholic. And they would have no idea that how lazy I was when I was in school.
Why do you think you were lazy?
Because I didn't care about any of this. Like, for example, you know, like as an adult, I was watching, you know, like, I don't know if you saw World War II in color. I think it was on the History Channel. And I was fascinated. I was like it was like fascinating, right? But I'm like, wait, they taught this shit in high school in world history. And I couldn't give shit about it back then, right? So that just goes to show you, like, now that I actually have interest in the topic, like, versus like, and that's kind of how you are. You couldn't find that thing that you can put all your interest in.
Couldn't find it, yeah. And now, to be honest with you, this conversation is great because it's kind of helped me reverse engineer and figure out some of the traits we had and why some of the pieces didn't work until later on.
Yeah. Did you kind of feel like one? Let me know if this sounds familiar. Because for me, I was like, I didn't really even think about my future when I was in high school. Like, I was thinking about like hang out with my friends and all of that shit. Right. And then once I went to college, even then I didn't care. But for somewhere in my mind, I was like, okay, once I become an adult after school, I'll figure it out. Something will happen. Like, it's just not right time yet. Because before you said something about like when you were in high school, like I always had this feeling in high school, like I can't wait to get out of here and start my life. And like I didn't think my real life is going to start until I leave school or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I didn't really think that much about what I'm going to do in the future. Until that moment came, I was like, "Whoa!" But anyway, like, let's continue. So, you after school, how did you get into Wall Street? And
So I graduated college, and same thing. Got by, did my thing, had a lot of fun in college, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And I would say the highlight of my college, because you know, and I have a chapter about this in my book, and it's regards to education. I think education means different things to different people, especially now. Do you need to go to college to do what you and I are doing? No, you don't. But that being said, I did get a lot from college, specifically being on my own and kind of growing into a man. And I think that that was kind of priceless, if I'm being honest. I graduated college, son, and still I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I came back home to Long Island with my parents for a little bit. And I wasn't seeing eye to eye with my mom. And I'm like,
what did you major in?
Marketing, business. Okay. But still, in college, I wasn't like the stuff that they were teaching us, like accounting and different things. I just wasn't that interested in. Could you imagine if they were teaching like personal development and entrepreneurship? It wasn't like that for me.
So you are not like aware of like the personal development world yet at this time?
Not really. I mean, I probably knew who Tony Robbins was because he was a public figure, but no, I wasn't really, I didn't really know.
Okay.
But I mean, I love the Rocky movies. I love stuff that would inspire me, but yeah. I didn't really, I didn't put that together just yet, son. And then I came home and I remember I was always infatuated with stocks because I like to make money. And unapologetically, you know, and stocks was cool to me. And I lived kind of close to Wall Street. So I ended up getting a job through a friend at a firm doing stocks. And it was at that moment that I also, because I was a fish out of water, here I was at this brokerage with people that were crushing it. And I looked around and instead of feeling imposter syndrome, which I think a lot of people would feel, I immediately looked around and this was a very pivotal life moment. And I said, whoa. These cats, respectfully, are crushing it. It's only a matter of time before I beat on my craft and outwork people where I can learn this and be able to do something similar, if not better. Mm-hmm. And so literally, I stumbled upon YouTube. I was looking to motivate myself and I started going into personal development. I came across people that are now my friends at the time, like Eric Thomas, Goggins, and then something specific.
Really. Wait, what? What drove you to, did somebody share this stuff with you or what drove you to seek out these specific people?
I just felt called to go to YouTube and type in motivation.
Okay.
I was looking to inspire myself and outwork everybody in addition to, you know, working on my techniques and so forth. I just wanted some like motivation. And I came across NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, how you can reprogram your mind and change your perspective on how you see the world and cultivate confidence and build rapport. And I was hooked by that right away. Mm-hmm. I started Googling things and I actually found a mentor in the city that I would go and meet with once a week for years to develop myself. Mm-hmm. See, this, the key in personal development that I think some people forget about is development. Some people just right? Some people just consume and that's great, but it's like
They think they're going to do the push-ups for you.
Right. How many people do you see at like the same events and the same stuff? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's great to see you again, but what have you applied? Mm-hmm. And so I was really working on myself. And I was really, at the time, I probably struggled with confidence, if I'm being honest, son. And I was a little insecure, but I knew that I was here for more and I could do it. And so I became infatuated with the fact that I could actually cultivate confidence. I could model someone like James Bond and up like my self-belief and stuff. And that could make up for my lack of experience. And so I started to do really, really well at Wall Street, became one of the top producers of the whole company. And personal development would stay with me up until now. I just didn't think at the time that personal development would be my career. I just utilized it as a ladder to climb. And I built relationships. I built up myself, started to make money. Had a lot of success on Wall Street. And as you can imagine, Wall Street was a lot of fun until it wasn't, when the stress started to outweigh the good. And so I pivoted and I started my own company where we basically provided loans and working capital to businesses across the country, although still lucrative, still a gladiator in the wrong arena. It was only temporary at that time. This was before.
So it sounded like you were chasing success, but you didn't even know like which channel to succeed in, right? Like you were obviously chasing success. That's why you did well in Wall Street. And that's why you started your own business. But it was still the wrong interest.
I didn't even know what success meant. But I wanted to do well and have status and have money and like, you know, pretty girl. And I kind of achieved a lot of those things, but it didn't make me fulfilled. And then ultimately, it's like, you know, in the beginning, Wall Street was fun. I wouldn't have changed a thing on my journey, but a career should light up your soul. It should be something that you can't wait to wake up out of bed in the morning for. And ultimately, I just want to make people happy. I want to have a good time. I want to improve. And that was just a very stressful environment that no longer, I think, served its purpose in my movie, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I find this so relatable. I want to dig in a little bit deeper into this, like, confidence thing. Because when you said that you feel confident, but you still had a little bit of that imposter syndrome. Like, I can still relate to that. And it's something like, you know, when I see somebody, like when I went to film school and I watch a film, right? And I'm like, I have no idea how, but I think I can do that. I have no idea how, but I just believe that, like, if I just spend years, like, studying film and things like that, that I can do that. I can probably do what that guy's doing. Do you understand what I mean? And it's almost like, When I'm inspired by something, that's the way I feel. But then once that you start doing it, that imposter syndrome still hits on a day-to-day basis, right? So it's like a kind of balance. But I want to know where that confidence comes from, because I noticed that about myself, that I have this, like, delusional confidence.
Same.
Like, where most people will look at that director and be like, making a movie like that is something that I can never do. Whereas when I look at something like that, and I go like, I could probably do that. You give me enough time. Like, where does that come from, right? So let's go back to your childhood for a moment. Were you, because I believe that kind of confidence, it comes from seeing proof. So, and for me, one of the things that happened to me was, as a child, repeatedly, I saw proof of my competence. Like, somebody will ask me, like you said, like, I will wait till last minute, but then I'll finish this there and then make something dope. Like, I made a church flyer for my church. And then everyone was like, oh my God, that's amazing, son. So I got these little, tiny little validations throughout my life that kind of taught me that, oh yeah, I could probably do that. Did you have something like that? Or, like, where do you think that comes from?
I think similar to you, son. And our stories are very relatable. Well, probably one of the many reasons why I love you is that we connect so deeply. I would do things when they needed to get done, and I would do them well. The problem was I would probably just start a little bit later than I should have. And so, just like you, I did have some proof of concept. But I don't know if it was because I grew up, like I said earlier, I really don't know, like, where this trauma comes from. If maybe I wasn't really, like, teased that much. Maybe just like any other kid, like, I had a little acne and I was shorter, like I mentioned earlier. But I just started to build a chip on my shoulder. And it was kind of like a little flame that I would continuously throw another log in, and the fire would get a little bit bigger. And I would just patiently wait for the time when I can utilize the gifts that were given to me, because I believe that they were given and it's our responsibility to channel them and make a difference in the world in some capacity. And I was able to do that in a big way when I got to Wall Street, and I created this identity, and people were so impressed with me, like people I grew up with and so forth. The reality was, Wall Street was not the thing, but it very well was the thing that led to the thing. And got so it. I think similar to you, I would do things at different moments and have success. And I would say, if I can just find the thing that I actually want to do, I could channel that short-term desire or drive and get it done for the long haul. And I cultivated a chip on my shoulder. I wish I had maybe more of a sexy answer, like, oh, it was because of this one incident. But I don't know. I just started to build it and build it and build it.
What drove you or motivated you growing up? Like, was there something, like, good grades, like being popular, having fun with friends? Yeah. Like, what was, like, the most important to you?
Two things come to mind. Number one, I think I was often underestimated, overlooked, and undervalued. Like, I don't know if it was maybe I would be picked, like, you know, near last on a team or something. I don't know. That's probably one of the reasons why I developed it on my shoulders. I was interested in being a popular kid. You know, ever since I was little, I'm not sure why, I created this identity, this persona of how I thought I was supposed to show up in the world. Popular. I like certain things that my friends liked. And now I look back all these years later and I realize I didn't really like those things. I was, like, trying to like those things because my friends did. Like, for example, cars, right? a lot of my friends who grew up with loved cars, like nice cars, like rims, tints, all that stuff. And same. And I liked them for a while too. But the truth of the matter is I'm not obsessed with cars. Yeah. I'm not obsessed with watches either. Mm-hmm. I like them, but those aren't my things. But I was showing up in the world with who I thought I was supposed to be. But the reality was, is I created this persona. It wasn't real. So that's why I'm so big on authenticity. And one of the many reasons why I love the name of your show is because it took me years to finally be myself and show up to the world as the real me. And that's when my life really began to take off. So yes, when I was a little younger, I wanted to be popular. Yeah. And I wanted people to like me, I think.
Yeah. Same. Like, I think my number one goal was just to be cool. And like, yeah. I would like study people's behavior. Like I moved here from Korea, and I would even see like that all the cool kids carry their bag with one arm, one strap instead of two straps.
Yeah.
So I would mimic them.
Sure.
Like things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you said you feel like you kind of grew up in a shelter environment, and then when you went to college, like obviously, this I just wanted to kind of touch on this point before we move on. You're in like freedom, right? Like, because that's kind of how I felt. My parents were pretty strict, and when I went to college, I had this freedom, and it really resonated when you said like it was like you got an education in how to become a man, become an adult. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt. Like, I feel like my classes didn't do shit. Like, all my computer science classes I took, I had to relearn over again.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did learn is to how to be more responsible and take care of myself as an adult and do the laundry and how to pay bills on time, like things like that.
Yes.
So is that similar? How did you? Because for me, in that first year, it was difficult because like I couldn't handle this amount of freedom all at once. Do you know what I mean?
So what happened?
So like I failed almost all my classes. I got put on like academic probation. And like my parents were like, what the fuck?
Did you end up graduating?
What's that?
Did you end up graduating?
No, actually. And then like the next semester I did bad again. So then I just dropped out at that point.
Got it. Yeah. So I got by. I didn't join a fraternity because I couldn't resonate with being abused, quite frankly. And it doesn't necessarily mean physically, just like, you know how like they haze people and so forth. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way that would feel. Mm-hmm. So I was, interestingly enough, I was really good friends with all the fraternities. So I kind of had the best of both worlds because I got to hang out with all of them and maybe go to some of their parties, but not necessarily have the responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I just became a man similar to you. I learned how to pay my own bills and go food shopping and do my own laundry and stuff. And I got by just like I did in high school. I graduated and all that stuff. But I didn't really care about it. I did it because that was what I was supposed to do. And if you're asking, well, who said you're supposed to? I don't know. That was the society that I grew up in for my family. And so
I think all of us are like that. I think most of us grew up brainwashed like that.
Yeah.
And that's what 16 years of schooling does, right? From kindergarten to, you finish your bachelor's, like those 16 years, you're just constantly being brainwashed on what's right, what's wrong. This is how you should act in society. Here's the real world.
And how do you know? Because that's all we know at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Unless our parents make sure that we don't, you know, because I think that's what I see about, like when I see successful people and I see how they raise their children, they make sure that their kids are not brainwashed by that through school. Like, for example, I don't know where I heard this, but like when a working class person takes their children to a hospital, to the doctor or something like that, they always say, listen to the doctor, right? Like whatever the doctor says, it's like, okay, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. yes sir, right? But then like when like a successful person or a wealthy person takes their children to a doctor, they're told to question the doctor. They're like, oh, why? Why do I have to do that, right? Like, so it's almost like they're on an even playing field. Like, so they don't automatically take anything from authority for granted.
Right.
And that's like such a great education that they're learning, right, as a child or something like that.
Yeah, It's true. It's like being plugged in the matrix. It's what we know. Until you realize, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is there a choice? Is there a different narrative? Yeah. That's when everything
And it sounds up. Like that's what you kind of got to later in like in your career.
Correct.
So let's go there. And I wonder, let's keep this in mind. Like, I wonder how many people out there in the world have that same feeling that you have. Like, that feeling like, I know I'm meant for more than this. I know I can do more than this. I know I can put this into some, but they just don't know where to put it in. Or they feel like they're not in the right arena.
Correct.
Do you understand what I mean?
100%.
And how many people die like that? Like, they go their entire life in the wrong arena. Probably most people, right? Like,
yeah.
But anyway, okay. So how did you go from there? Like, so let's go to the moment when you actually figure out, okay, this isn't it. Even, you know, like, Wall Street isn't it, even though it's my own business. Or
yeah. So I started to feel really down and dark a few years back, right before the pandemic. It got to the point where I had my own business. I had employees.
Because of the pandemic or?
No, prior. Okay, okay. The pandemic actually kind of saved me, and we'll go into that in a second. Okay. So I should say the lockdown saved me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was waking up every day, and I'm like, all right. And I had to kind of like sell myself to go to work and do the thing. Now, to be clear, I gave it everything I got because that's the type of cat I am. But at the end of a long
day. This is your own business right now, right? Okay.
Yeah, the loan thing. At the end of a long day, I wasn't just tired. I was depleted because I didn't like what I was doing. I knew I was here for something more. I just didn't know what it was. And it felt like I was spinning my wheels. And so during that time, this was probably about 5 years ago, a bunch of things happened at once. I had just got out of a very toxic relationship, which is never fun. Now looking back, I realized I probably attracted that toxic relationship because of the type of cat I was at the time. And my best friend, my dad, had just gotten diagnosed with cancer at the time. Like I said, he's still battling. And so all those things and the fact that I really did not like my career. And to be clear, guys, you better love what you do because you're probably going to spend a third of your life in your career, another third sleeping. So that's why I'm so big now on identifying your purpose, your passions, your calling, monetizing and building a life like that. And so it got very dark for me. Let's just say there was a season in my life, brother, where I was waking up with a morning cup of Joe and it wasn't filled with coffee. Like, that's how dark it was for me. I didn't stay there long, though. All of a sudden, I started running and running marathons. And this is pivotal. And I know you relate to this.
What triggered you to start running?
A calling. I just felt like going for a run one day out of nowhere. I always worked out. That was important to me. Like, I like to lift weights and stuff. But cardio, what are you, nuts? Get out of here. One day I went for a run, son, and I came back home and I was so humbled that it was such a struggle to finish 2 miles without stopping. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I physically out of shape or am I really mentally out of shape right now? And then I took my healthy obsession and started doing a deep dive on running, what it takes to be successful. Next thing you know, I'm upping the distance. I sign up for a 5K. Then a 10K, I'm hopping on a meal plan. I'm not drinking that much anymore. I'm like getting healthy and I'm really finding a connection to running. And then I signed up for the New York City Marathon and I just fell in love with the sport. And it wasn't so much about the 26.2 miles. It was about the transformation. It was about who I had to become, my identity, to be the type of cat that goes from never running to running marathons and running them well. And I really started to cultivate a new sense of self-belief and confidence that I never quite had before. It took courage to let everyone know that I was running this marathon, wasn't much of a runner, put it out there, train for it. And then it showed me that I could be successful at stuff that I didn't necessarily have experience in, but I was still at my job, if you will, my business. But I started to find myself, I was in a good place, and then ultimately, bang. The pandemic and lockdown. And I shut down my office for what I thought was going to be 2 weeks. And I treated that moment like I would never have it.
Mind, you were not thinking like, okay, I'm going to, you know, switch careers. And like, even in that beginning, like when first in the beginning of pandemic, you were not thinking that.
When I came home, son, when I came home and my office was shut down, and so was my industry at the time for like a couple of weeks. So it wasn't even like I could work remotely. For the first time as a man in my adult life, I didn't have a structured, organized, disciplined routine, because when I was on Wall Street till now, I had a structure in my life. And so I wasn't working. And literally, I realized in that moment when I got quiet, kind of had a spiritual awakening, I was like, you know what my biggest fear is right now? That lockdown would end and I would have to go back and be miserable. And so let me make the most of this and just consider a different option. And so for your listeners, I imagine they're like,
you were
go ahead. Yeah, because I didn't realize just how miserable I was, son, until I was removed from it and I had a second to process it. I never created the white space to reassess and be like, should I keep doing what I'm doing or should I consider something different? Because I was so in it and, you know, Manhattan. Yeah. Oh, really? Yep.
That's a big burden on your shoulders, and like keeping. But I didn't even know. I didn't know that there was a way out. I thought this was my life. I'm stuck. This is it, right? Until pandemic happened, I'm like, oh,
yes.
Maybe this is my way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's got to be a different way.
Yeah. Right?
I started thinking maybe I can kick ass and be happy.
Okay. So yeah. Before you were chasing the status and kicking ass, but you were not happy, like on the circuit.
I was miserable.
And then now you were like, okay, got it.
And
did the running have a lot to do with that, you think?
It did. I'll tell you why. Okay. I would say, you know, a lot of people hear my story and they want to just, you know, go nuts and find their purpose, but they don't know what it is. I like to tell everybody, for me, running was definitely the thing that led to the thing. Because putting myself in that arena took guts and courage. I was uncomfortable. It was way out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And once you get over that and you can crush that, you start to ask yourself, well, what can I not do if I was able to do that? And so when I got quiet in the pandemic, in the lockdown, I realized that I had been successful at many things in my life that I didn't necessarily love, but I was able to find a way to be good at them. What if I could take that drive and that ability to get shit done and apply it to something I loved? What could that look like? And that's when I really started connecting and asking the creator, like, why am I here? What are my gifts? And just like that, it didn't take long. I drew upon that divine inspiration in the quiet and I was like, duh, I'm obsessed with personal development. I've been studying it for 15 years like a lunatic, using it to be successful in business, relationships, marathons. Maybe this personal development thing is more than just a passion. Maybe it's my assignment. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to get momentum and I put this whole thing together.
Mm-hmm. I love it. There's something like really interesting here. Like you definitely knew the marathon was the thing that got you to the thing, right? Like it was a stepping stone again for you to get, like every one of those stages in life, it was stepping stone for you to get to the 100%. Next thing, right?
Correct.
And that's why they're not, like you can't skip those steps.
Correct.
And I feel like for you, so while I was listening to this whole story, this is the feeling that I got, like from my own life, and then let me know if any of this resonates. I feel like I had that delusion of confidence. Like, oh, okay, oh, you want me to make that flyer? Okay, I can probably make it. I can learn Photoshop. Oh, I can learn how to code and make a website. Like, I had that delusion of confidence, but it came easy to me. It wasn't like I had to put in a lot of discipline and hard work, to like a little bit, but at the end, it wasn't like long, hard journey, right? But then when I started my agency and I built it to a certain point, it took me like 3 years. That's when I look back, I'm like, holy shit, like I did this. And it's something that's hard. Like I actually had to put in a lot of work to do it. And I think that's when I started thinking like, okay, it's not just a delusion of confidence. I found the value of discipline and hard work or consistent long over time, which is what I used to not see at all. I'm like, oh no, you just need great idea. You just need to be brilliant. You just need brilliant product. But then like now I actually think it's 99% just discipline and hard work. Do you know what I mean? But I learned that through that experience. And it almost seems like you kind of learned that through running the marathon or running. Correct. Just in general.
But even in Wall Street, like in the beginning, I was a fish out of That's water. True. But I put my head down, right, and my shoulder down, and I stayed very consistent. And, you know, I love to ask the greats of my podcast, they asked you this, what is your superpower? And, you know, I think we all have several, for being honest. Mm-hmm. One of mine is definitely consistency. And consistency will do wonders. And it's so interesting to me that consistency is a superpower, son, that is accessible to everybody. And yet very few understand and take advantage of it.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's simple, but it's not easy.
Sometimes the simplest things to do are also the simplest not to do.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I love it. So it really sounds like maybe that running, what it did for you is like, you knew you had the discipline, the consistency. Maybe that's like your superpower and you were able to, almost to a fault, because that's why you became so successful in something you hate.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? It's because you have that discipline, right?
Yeah.
And, but then it wasn't until you ran the marathon where you, that discipline met with fulfillment.
Yes.
Because it was like before, it was just sheer force discipline.
Great. Yeah.
But now, because it sounds like you said you went down that rabbit hole of like, you know, about running, like you had to learn everything about, I'm sure like you did the same thing about with personal development. Because I get like that too when I get obsessed about something. Like right now, I'm obsessed about cooking steaks. Like the
cooking steaks?
Yeah. Can like you cooking cook the me perfect. One? What's that?
Can you cook me one?
Yeah, of course. Like I've been trying to perfect it, like, because watching all, like, but I get obsessive like that too.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you found that thing where you're like, wait a minute, I can apply my discipline to something I'm already obsessed about.
And then
it's just like, yeah.
It's a perfect storm. Game over.
Yeah.
Game on, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you realize at that moment.
Correct.
So how did you do it? Like, how did you actually practically quit your job, like quit this thing? And for somebody like this, like, okay, I'm ready, Craig. I'm ready to jump in and start my new life. Like, what's my step one?
So it occurred to me that personal development was my thing. I didn't think I was ever worthy of turning that into a career until the lockdown. And then I said, all right, this is a great idea. I will take my discipline, my consistency, and I'll apply it to something I love. But now let's reverse engineer that. Let's say we want to be the face of personal development in 10 years. Tony Robbins, maybe something like that, but different. Speaking, coaching, book deal, podcast. Okay, so let's reverse engineer. What would be step one, considering I'm an introvert, I barely on social media, and I have no celebrity friends or connections? Let's build a personal brand. Because it doesn't matter how good I might be able to get, if there's nobody there to consume it or to help, I got nothing. Yeah. So I said, all right, CLS.
And if you said that to me as a stranger, I would be like, this guy's delusional. Like,
I am delusional.
He doesn't know anyone. Blah, blah, blah. What does he think he's going to be like? Right. But then, knowing this backstory of what happened with the marathon, blah, 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 it actually makes perfect sense. why Thank you do that.
I received that. It's a beautiful comment. I am very delusionally optimistic. I think there's a difference. I figured this out recently, kind of off topic. There's a difference between being delusionally optimistic, like you and I are, and toxic positivity. You know what I'm saying? Where everyone thinks everything is unbelievable, but like the ships, you know, like there's a whole, there's a difference.
Yeah. Right?
So you have to be somewhat reasonable, but delusional.
Because toxic positivity is like, oh yeah, I can do it. I'm the best, or I deserve it, right? But deep down inside, they don't actually believe it. Whereas in, I think what we do is, on the outside, we might come off a little bit more humble. It's like maybe imposter syndrome. But deep down inside, we have this strong faith that I can do this. Mm-hmm. It's what's in here, not what you portray outside. Like,
Yes. So I'm thinking, all right, this sounds great. I never felt more excited about anything in my life. I'm like, all right, how are we going to do this? And then I created a methodology. I looked at this roadmap as a 10-lane highway, because I didn't want to just rely upon one thing. I wanted to create multiple sources of revenue, but also more importantly, impact. So I thought about it, a highway, 10 lanes, coaching, speaking, podcast, TED Talk, book deal, community, events, and so forth. And then I reverse engineered it. I'm like, let's build CLS. At the time it was Cultivate Lasting Symphony, which I just always love that word symphony, and I'm a strange cat. It's also a play on my initials, Craig Linden Siegel. And I just said, all right, what's step one? And I just put myself out there uncomfortably. And I reintroduced myself to my very, very small following on social media. So my name is Craig Siegel. I'm going to start talking about all things personal development, NLP, utilizing a lot of the stuff I've studied over the years and hoping that I could just help some people. And that was it. And I started putting out content. I did not have a laptop, son, or a website. For the first 8 months, I was literally just holding up my phone, and I showed up with a lot of raw energy, and it was goofy. Let me be clear. There's a quote that I love by Chris Voss. He says, if you're not embarrassed with who you were a year ago, you're probably not growing enough. If you go back and look at my early content, you'll have a great chuckle. But I went for it, brother. I did not care about looking silly or people judging me. I took messy action. And I was adding value. That's all I cared about in the beginning, is building a little bit of a community and saying something that hopefully resonated with people. Mm-hmm. And it started to catch fire.
So during this whole, and then you grew really pretty quickly. And I'm just...
I like to say, for the first time in my life, I was actually truly in alignment.
Mm-hmm. And then that's why you said before, perfect storm, because once everything was in alignment, it just...
Yeah. And also one other thing I just want to say before you about to jump in is I did make one guarantee to myself at that moment, because there was no guarantee that this would pop off. I made a guarantee that for the first time in my life, I would let go of trying to be something I wasn't, and I would show up to the world as the real, raw, strange Craig Siegel. And I knew not everybody would dig it, but that's okay.
You dig?
Right.
Wait, so what made you, why did you make that decision?
I just figured, son, for the first time ever, this is really what I can sink my teeth into, that I can honestly say I love. I never loved other stuff. I gravitated towards them. So if it doesn't work out, which between me and you, trying to be humble, I knew that it would, because I'm relentless, and if it doesn't, I'll learn from mistakes. But I said, if it didn't work out, at least I would fail being myself, and I could live with that. And then I would go back to doing what I was doing. But it's funny, because as soon as I really started being me, like I referred to my haircut as my hairpiece and talk about your dig and weird stuff, that's when people started to really connect with it and resonate. And I just doubled down on that. And that's why I think authenticity takes courage, but it's such a superpower. I imagine you agree. That's why you titled it the name of your show.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so I want to try to kind of wrap it up. And I love everything, like everything that you said. Everything is so relatable. It's so inspirational. And I love that you... Like you kind of proved it by saying when everything was in alignment. And I love what you said about how, because like for the first time you felt like you were in alignment. And I just want viewers to understand what that feels like, because I've had a moment like that in my life too. And it really feels like when you're, you know how when you're playing a video game or sports, and you, it's like a do or die, like money's on the line, and you, all you're trying to do is like playing very careful not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like you go from here to like trying to play to win. And then all of a sudden, like every ball you throw is going in. You feel invincible because like it seems like everything is going your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not really thinking about losing. You're only thinking about winning. And I do think that everybody has to at some point do that, because otherwise you're constantly living your life out of fear, mm-hmm. rather than like, you know, out of hope, like when you're in alignment. So right now, when you look at your audience and when you see the world, and you said that you think your consistency is your superpower.
One of them.
And one of your superpower. And when you look at the world, what do you see that, I want to narrow it down to one. Like, what would you say is like the biggest myth or misconception that people believe in? That you just want to be like, wake up. And you just want to show them that, like, you have to throw away that belief, because that belief is what's stopping.
I'm really glad you asked me this. I don't think it could be more timely. And for me, the answer is simple. People don't believe that you can have it all. People don't think that you can have the career you absolutely love, make money, and have awesome relationships and be happy and kick ass. They think that...
Like cake and eat it too. Yeah.
Right. That people think that at what cost? If I have this, I'm not going to like my job. If I have the perfect partner, then I won't be able to work out. I can't do all the things. That's
why? Why do you think people do that? Like, what do you think is about us that makes us believe that? Like, it's, you know.
It's a great question. Maybe it's society. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's that people aren't tapping so much into their spirituality, because what I noticed over the last year or two, when I really doubled down on my spirituality, is that when I create a bigger connection, for anyone that's listening, I imagine they believe there's something bigger, whether it's universe, quantum, God, Hanukkah, Harry. For me, it's the creator. And I believe that our soul is here as a vessel to receive all the light, all the abundance, all the fulfillment. We just have to figure out how to build a bigger vessel, how to earn the fulfillment, not instant gratification, and how to find out what's getting in the way of us doing that. Oftentimes it's a belief that we've cultivated, maybe from our parents or society or whatever the case may be, and to remove the interference and to reveal more and more of our light and help others do the same. You look at someone like Elon Musk, and it's like, does that guy have more potential than me, you, or some of your listeners? I don't think so. I think what he does, however, is has an unwavering yearning and desire for his passions. He wants it so bad that he's going to attract the right people into his world that can help him go to Mars, that can help him build Teslas, because he's found out a way to tap into more of his own light or potential or capacity, if you will.
I think it's contagious.
Yeah. I think we all have that ability. I do.
Do you think it's, do you think before you went through this kind of transformation, the old Craig had that belief like, oh, in order for me to be successful, I have to be suffer and be do unhappy job. So that I like kind of what you were saying before, most people believe that.
That was vintage Craig. This is why I speak with such contrast. It's because I used to have that identity that thought you cannot have it all. There's no such thing as loving what you do and making a lot of money and having a perfect relationship. There's no such thing as a perfect relationship, but the right relationships and so forth. I was 100% subscribed to that until it got really quiet in the lockdown. I connected. I don't know how deep you want to go. And I considered a different narrative and a different choice. And I, instead of giving so much energy to this old narrative that I would have to sacrifice this to have that, I started doubling down on, well, what can go right instead of what can go wrong? And that's when things began to open up and I began to reinvent my life, not just my career, got engaged, getting married, all the things. And so it comes down to, I think, an awareness and being able to tap into a higher consciousness and realize that we do have a choice.
How do you think you did it? Like tapping into that higher consciousness? Like, do you think running was part of that?
Yes, because, you know, meditation is very trendy. You're not going to find me really sitting like in the corner of my house, like, you know, Indian style meditating. But when I started running, son, I started doing my best connecting. In other words, speaking to God and the creator. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was able to draw upon divine downloads that changed everything for me, that kind of set me on a divine path to start doing what I love and figuring out what my gifts are and channeling them and so forth. So running was kind of that vessel for me to really start connecting and building that trust and faith and even a knowing.
Yeah, I love that. It almost seems like you have the whole roadmap right there. I do feel like everybody needs that one, that middle stepping stone. Like for you, it was running. But some sort of, because the reason why I ask you about running is because it is a meditative process, running.
Yes.
And that's why it attracts communities. Running has a lot to do with communities. And I feel the same about a lot of things, right? Like even when I'm riding my motorcycle or like yoga, or there are a lot of things that are very meditative, right? And I feel like everybody has to find that thing to kind of get a little bit more spiritual before they can find that alignment.
You have to, brother. And I know, I don't know like how deep you typically go with this stuff, but I think it's a cool place to land. And I would just say this for someone listening right now that's like curious about this, and you're like, well, what does it even mean to be spiritual? Mm-hmm. I think a good definition, or at least my perspective, would be that that means that you believe that there's something else going on here beyond just our logic. And if you could subscribe to that, then you have the ability to go deeper.
Yeah. Anything that science can't explain is spiritual. Spirituality.
Correct.
Yeah. I love it, man. And you know, while we were thinking that, like I had this vision. I'm like, if I were you, what I would do is I would build like a running app, and then like have my community, like have that thing be the thing, right? We all run together. Because like through running, maybe they can go more deeper in there and then find what their alignment. Because I really feel like that's a huge part of it, like the spirituality and that finding alignment more than like any specific business advice that you can give.
So true. I agree. Beautifully
that's
said.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for being open and, you know, sharing with us.
Thank you for asking tough questions, son, because these are the conversations where you really go deep below the surface that you create the most magic. And I love the questions that you had. This is one of the deeper conversations I've ever had, quite frankly. And it was awesome.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you so much for that. I'm glad, man. Thanks for that compliment. All right. Thank you all for listening. Let's kind of do like a plug. What do you have right now? How can people find you? How do they join your membership?
Yeah, anywhere you listen to podcasts, the CLS Experience, anywhere you buy books, Reinvention Formula, we have a massive community, the CLS membership. You can check out all the stuff, cultivatelastingsymphony.com, anywhere on social, at Craig_CLS. And if you like free inspirational nuggets throughout the week, you can text me at 917-634-3796 and text the word SUN so that I know that you heard it here.
Awesome. What I'll do is I'll put all the links in and information in the show notes. Thanks for your time, Craig. Thank you for your inspirational stories. Thank you, everyone, and I'll see you all next week.
Love you, buddy.